So 6:30, if I don't get a chance to mention it later. And we will be taking up an offering as well for their ministry later too. But it is a privilege to have them with us today. Paul and Nuala have been in full-time ministry since 1977. And we've known them for many, many years here. And I know that the words that they've spoken have spoken into many, many people's lives over the years. Mine included. I was talking to someone earlier as well who has had a specific answer to prayer as well that I'm sure they'll tell Paul and Nuala about later. But this is what we want, isn't it? That life, you know, the Holy Spirit to speak, for God to speak into hearts and lives. And this is the heart that that Paul and Nuala have. They long to see people come to know the Lord, come to salvation, come into the fullness of knowing our wonderful Saviour. The gift that's been given to each one of us, to see the sick healed, and to see lives transformed by the power of God, that we might be channels of the love of God. You know, God does pour in his love by the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? I know this is their ministry. They want for us to experience and to hear the love of God, to be filled with his love, that we might be those who go out and express that same love towards others. So this isn't just a word spoken out into the air. I believe this is God speaking into hearts and into lives today. And so let's just give Paul a warm King's Way welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with the family. Thanks for taking this into your hearts and making this part of this super family. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, David. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time we've had in your presence this morning. We just love you. We just love being loved by you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to the center of who we are. We thank you, Lord, no matter what goes on in the world, you hold us. You hold all things together. You hold us. Thank you for breaking our chains. Thank you for pouring your love into our hearts. Thank you for giving us your provision now and your hope for the future. Thank you for valuing each one of us. And now, Lord, I ask you to release this morning and continue to minister to every one of us and release now a word of revelation, impartation, encouragement, refreshment. Bless the ministry of Kingsway, Lord. And we just pray for the city. We pray for Liverpool. We pray for Merseyside. We pray for United Kingdom in this time of crisis and consternation and division. We pray that you will send the most massive awakening that this nation has ever seen. Father, there's help in you, and you ask us to pray your kingdom to come. We pray your kingdom will come, and you'll deliver us from the strife of men, and you'll bring us into your plans. Lord, bless the destiny, the ministry of the body of Christ to make you known and to reconcile people to you. And to give us a new heart and a new spirit. Take out that heart of stubbornness out of us, Lord, and just give us your wonderful heart. Make the United Kingdom, like never before, a light to the nations, a powerhouse for the gospel, Lord. And let this new generation discover your glory, your life-giving, saving message for themselves. Lord, we just ask you that you will absolutely inundate us with your presence in life. And for this coming week, that every one of us would have a most blessed week, full of divine appointments, full of protection, full of opportunities to receive and transmit your love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, this morning I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. And here is a verse where he exhorts us to excel in certain gifts, in certain graces. And I believe we are coming to a time when he wants us to take us beyond the mediocre into the excellence of his ways and into more of his spirit. Jesus said, to him who has, more will be given. And there's always more in the Lord. About 20 years ago, there was a revival based on that word, one word, more. And everyone was going, more, Lord. But to him who has, will more be given. And I believe the Lord wants to add to us much more of his life. And because we tend to approach the Lord with a sort of a tick list. I've done that, tick, got that, tick, tick, tick. I've got all those things in the bag, in the bank, and sorted away with the Lord. But he says, to him who has, will more be given. And I believe he wants us to take us to a higher level in each of these facets mentioned here in this list here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Every so often in the writings of Paul, and in the New Testament, you'll see these lists, like in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, lists. And here's a list that's hidden there in 2 Corinthians 8, 7. But as you abound in everything, these Corinthians, Paul, believe that they abounded in everything. That they abounded in the following: in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in love. And they also abounded in the grace of liberality. The whole chapter is about the grace of liberality. But the key to it is in verse 5. Not only as we had hoped for, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. There's something that happens when someone gives themselves completely, entirely, without reservations to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sealed for you. I belong to you. My destiny is wrapped in you. I'm yours. And we come to that decision place. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Not every Christian gives themselves fully to the Lord. Do you know that? And so we have this phenomenon of nominal Christianity or partial Christianity or 30-fold Christianity. But there are, by the drawing of the Spirit of God, a body emerging of 100-fold Christians who say, Lord, I just give myself to you as yours. They gave themselves to the Lord. And then having given themselves to the Lord, they received more. Now, verse 8. I speak these things not as a commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. It's so easy in Christianity, as we exhort people to higher standards of living, to greater dedication, greater surrender, that we can get into legalism. And there's very few things more deadening than legalism. And legalism, when you put a performance pressure on others to measure up to an impossible standard, it'll crush you, it'll kill you, it'll drive people from the church, it'll produce rebellion, it's deadly. But he says, I say these things to you not as a commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love. He says, see that you abound in this grace also. The thing is, whole key to it, it's not a commandment, it's a grace. It's not something that you've got to work up. It's something that's in your tremendous inheritance that God wants to download to you, that he wants you to receive. From his fullness, we have received, we are receiving grace upon grace. We're going from one degree of glory to the next. So he's not putting this performance pressure burden of perfectionism on us. That's deadly. But he's saying, receive from the Lord more of his attitudes, more of his life, more of his nature. In John 17, Jesus prays that the glory that was in the Father would be in us. That's the prayer of Jesus for us, that the glory, which is the life and the presence and the fullness of the Father's nature, would be in us, that the world would recognize that he has loved us even as he has loved Jesus. Let's look at this list more closely. As you abound in everything, here's the things he wants to increase in us. In faith, I believe the church in Europe, the church in UK, needs to receive an upgrade of faith. Now, we all have faith. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have faith. Faith receives what God has supplied. Faith receives what God is available. Faith is the knowledge of the unseen realities, of the things unseen. Things means realities. There's a whole realm of spiritual reality that the world knows nothing of. They're blinded to it. And faith receives these unseen realities, not just mental engineering, but a receiving from the fullness of what God has made available for us in our inheritance in Jesus. So faith receives. We think of the church in Africa, where they have tremendous faith for healings, for example, or for provisions, for miracles. And we see there's a measure of faith in the body of Christ here, but we want to see an upgrade of faith. Smith Wigglesworth had a book, Ever Increasing Faith. He wants our faith to abound more and more. And we say, why not? One of the reasons there's a shortage of faith in the West is we don't look to God for much. We already have everything from the material order. But how about looking to God for everything, expecting nothing of ourselves and expecting everything from Him? He's our life. He's our righteousness. He's our health. He's our healing. He's our direction. He's our hope. He's our joy. He's our purpose. He's our future. And He's put the past in the past. By faith, we know that we are completely reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, that the past and the shame of the past now has lost its grip over us. Those who come through the blood of Jesus are released completely from every kind of shame, so that we stand now ready for the future and ready for the present. Faith, He's asking, He's exhorting us to ask the Lord for an increase, an upgrade in faith. I think here's a project we could make for ourselves over the next few months in our prayer with the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to You for an upgrade of faith. You see, these are not rewards from the Lord. They're gifts from the Lord to be received. See that you abound in this grace. These are all graces from the Lord that He wants us to increase in. Now, there are several kinds of faith. There's the receiving, trusting faith. There's also another kind of faith. There's the faith to do exploits, the faith to step out, the faith to follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. There's the trusting kind of faith, and there's the directing kind of faith. And I believe the Lord wants to get over to every single one of us, not only trusting faith, but the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits, to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who stepped out, who sought the face of God, who received instructions, found directions, entered into His plan, and received His promises. I believe for every single one of us, there's a receiving in that realm. It's in the realm of the Spirit that He can download His directions to us. Every one of us have an awakened spirit. God is speaking to every single one of us. He gives us directions. Sometimes we harden our hearts. Sometimes we dumb them down. Sometimes we shut down God's voice and we say, that's just my fantasy. Listen to the thoughts and the dreams that the Lord is placing within us, because there are dreams and directions and vistas of faith that the Lord is opening up to this new generation that will move us into realms and places where others have not gone. It'll release us from the treadmill of the same old, and show us the way ahead. One of the important things in the Lord is to know the seasons. And we're in a season of tremendous change in the body of Christ. In Jesus' life, there were many seasons. There was His infancy. There was His growing up in Nazareth. Then there were these silent years between the ages of 12, age of 12 and 30, where He was a builder, was strong, was an ordinary, seemed like just an ordinary, regular human being in Galilee, had a good Galilean Scouse accent, whatever. He was a builder among those people, and yet He was relating to the plans and dreams and purposes of the Heavenly Father. As He read the Scriptures, He saw Himself in the Scriptures. I hope you see yourself in the Scriptures and not just Bible stories. And He received those dreams as He began to be taught of the Spirit and grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And then there was the season when He's being subdued to them in Galilee was over, and He received a huge revelation of His sonship, larger than He'd ever known it before. And then He didn't immediately go into ministry, but allowed the Holy Spirit to test His motivation. And in three great ways was He loving money? Was he loving fame? Was he loving power? Was he loving to be the pinnacle of the temple? Was he loving prestige, importance? And he set aside, examined those motivations, resisted those motivations, and the demonic spirit of this world that's behind those motivations that can even come upon the most spirit-filled person in the universe. See, it's when you're filled with the Spirit, you get a different kind of temptations. And so the church becomes partially led by the Spirit of God and partially led by the ambition of man, the unresolved carnal nature. So Jesus overcame all those temptations and went in authority and power into Galilee. And then my favorite part of his ministry, when Jesus was in Galilee, and crowds came to tens of thousands, and he healed them all. It's just so amazing. And you just fall in love with Jesus and these amazing teachings. And then about 2 years into this, he told his disciples, this is over. We're going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. It's going to look bad. It's the end of this wonderful season. And how could a season so beautiful, so wonderful, ever come to an end? Because God is progressive and the times, they are changing. The time for his appointment with death and resurrection and ascension was there. And for 2,000, he was 3 hours on the cross, 6 hours on the cross. Now he's 2,000 years on the throne. And the body of Christ has gone through many, many seasons. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And for 1,600 years, the church in Europe has been in a season of being protected by the political order, supported by the political order, propped up by the political order, perhaps seduced by and corrupted by the political order to a point. But now, these last few generations, every kind of political and social support for the body of Christ and for the message of Jesus has been ripped out of our society in the West. And we're in a new season. We're in a season that's much closer to the church of the first 3 centuries than it was for the church of the last 16 centuries. It's a season where we're going to have to learn to be strong in a new way. We're going to have to discover a culture of evangelism. We've never had to evangelize. People were just born, baptized, and about a week later and automatically declared Christians. For 1,600 years in Europe, we never, ever had to evangelize. We had revivals, awakening the believers who are already there. But to reach the people who have no interest or seem to have no interest in God or Jesus or the things of the Spirit of God, that's new for us to learn to communicate in this way. But his grace is sufficient. And we've got to learn, receive from him a faith, not just a trusting faith, but a faith that will empower us to penetrate this generation with the power of the gospel. It's going to happen. He's going to anoint us for this and enable us to really, really advance this great gospel in this time. See that you abound in faith. That's a project I've got going with the Lord to increase and upgrade my faith in both those kinds of realms. And I trust that you will have that project going. Father, I ask you right now, by a release of your Holy Spirit, a great impartation and increase in trusting faith. And in the faith to do exploits and hear your direction to come upon us as individuals and to come upon Kingsway as a collective, as a family. In Jesus' name. Lead us on, O Holy Spirit. Faith also causes us to center our lives no longer around ourselves, but around the plans and purposes of God. That's the key. Is your life centered around God? Or you just have him as a sort of a backup person, helping you as sort of an assistant, as sort of a Jeeves to help you along. See that also that you abound in speech. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon those first believers, shy people, uneducated lay people in the eyes of the world, not the orators, not the debaters of the day. But when the Spirit came upon them, they were given utterance. And they began to utter The wonderful praises of God. First of all, they got a prayer language. They got the language of prayer, not just tongues, but they got a life of prayer. They couldn't stop relating to God, thanking Him, praising Him, loving Him, appreciating Him like they'd never appreciated Him before. And the first thing that happens in speech is we ask the Lord to give us that increase in speech of praising Him, thanking Him, appreciating Him. The language of the world is grumbling and complaining. Have you noticed? But the language of the kingdom is praise and thanksgiving. And we get this new language, including tongues, a wonderful prayer language that enables you to pray beyond your mind, beyond your thoughts, beyond your theology, into the unseen mystery of God. But they also got speech outwardly towards others. They began to speak the amazing gospel of what God had accomplished for everyone in Jesus. They were bold. They were unstoppable. They couldn't be shut up. They could be locked up, but they couldn't be shut up. And everywhere they went, they received this amazing utterance from the Spirit of God. How about it? May the Lord upgrade us and see that we abound in speech. Jesus said, I'll give you a voice that none of your adversaries will be able to stop. And He'll give you also a speech that's relevant to the culture. He'll give you a way of speaking. You won't just come with your four spiritual laws. You can if you want to, but you won't just need a prepared script all the time. You'll know how to talk to the person who's very different, whose culture is different, whose religion is different. You'll be able to talk to them like Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. You'll be able to talk to the tough guys in Matthew's house. The guys with the tattoos, the guys who look so rough, but inside there's a soft center waiting to be touched. You won't be afraid of people. You'll be able to talk to them. You know when you're talking to four-year-olds or five-year-olds, you begin to put on four-year-old language and five-year-old language. You'll be able to talk to people of every kind and shape. When we were in Israel there a few weeks ago, we were in Ein Kerem, which is a little village, and people were breaking for coffee. And there was a guy there, and he looked like an old burnt-out hippie. He was about 60 years old or mid-50s. He had a pigtail, bare feet. And I said to him, you know Hashem, don't you? That's what they call God. And Hashem really loves you. You probably know that. But Hashem needs to hear from you. He does. Yes, He needs to hear from you because He really loves you. And I don't know whether you've ever heard it, but Hashem sent His Son to Jerusalem and He took on all the blame and the shame of any wrong that you ever did in your life. You probably did some wrong in your life, did you? Well, whatever it was, Hashem sent His Son to take it because He loves you and He needs to hear from you. He said, that's really good news. I said another thing too, you might like to look up in there are other Hebrew writings other than the Tanakh. There's the New Covenant. And in the New Covenant writings, one of the writers is called Luke. And he's a wonderful chapter there, Luke chapter 15. And you can look it up in the Hebrew language. Out comes the phone. He has it in Hebrew, Luke 15, about the prodigal son. But the Lord will give you a voice for every single person. I love when I see someone with a tattoo. I'm not big into tattoos myself. But I said, what you got on your tattoo? You know, and this, see this message on the arm. Love conquers everything. It's usually a point of discussion. He'll give you a voice. He'll give us a voice. I think often we Christians have been so tongue-tied among the unbeliever. We think we've got to say, are you saved? And it comes across so hokey or... But He'll let us be the friend of sinners. Lord, I ask that everyone here will have an upgrade in speech. First of all, the speech of prayer. Lord, we'll be addicted to prayer. We'll be a praying people. We love our times of prayer. And we will have speech towards others in an amazing way. In knowledge. We need an upgrade in knowledge. Revelation. This is revelation knowledge. Paul says the letter kills. I think evangelical Christianity has been somewhat deadened. I won't say killed, but deadened by dead letter. Because people read the scriptures, know the scriptures, can quote the scriptures, but they're not really life to them. They're not flowing. often in the same, we should be flowing in the same streams of revelation that Paul flowed in, that Stephen flowed in. And when we see the scriptures, we don't just stop at the scriptures. We grow through the scriptures to the Father and to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the advertising of the scriptures that tells us what you want us to do and who you want us to know. Now, Lord, I want to know you for myself. Knowledge, revelation knowledge. In Ephesians, he prays that you'll know the height and the depth and the length and breadth of God's love. Now, I know that God loves me, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring me into the love of the Father more than I've ever known before. He wants just to bring me into those high places of his love, into those vast vistas of his love. Holy Spirit, cause me to know, not just through mental, factual, catechism answer, Bible knowledge, God loves me. I have to know your love for myself more than I've ever known it before. I want that love that you have for me to melt every tundra area of my heart, every frozen area, every blocked up area. I want it to fill every cavity of my heart. I want it to transform me completely. And he says, when you do this, you'll be filled with the complete fullness of God himself. Wow. I want that upgrade in love. Holy Spirit, lead me to the love of my Father. Father, show me how to receive your love. Show me how to download your complete nature into myself. It's revelation. And we're to have a huge increase in the revelation of your Father's love for you as a personal experience. I'm not saying an emotional experience, because the emotion through which these things come can vary from person to person, but as an experiential reality, that the love of the Heavenly Father for you will just be the driving center of our lives. And that we'll know the greatness of his power at work in us, not just in great men of God, but in us. Revelation, Holy Spirit, his mission to us, his ministry to us, is to show us the things which have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. To show us the things that have been freely given to us by God. To show us more completely the realities that have been given to us by God. Now, I can learn the realities given to my God. I can learn from a good theological book or the good Bible study book. These are the following ministries of the Holy Spirit. These are the following realities given to me by God. But I want to know these for myself. Holy Spirit, show me those amazing vistas of your glory. Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give to every one of us a huge increase in revelation, in knowledge. I thank you, Father, you've hidden these things for the wise and the learned and revealed them to mere babes. They cannot be understood through the mind. The mind can lead you to the threshold, but it's only through the Spirit that you know these things, who searches the deep things of God. It's not an IQ thing. It's a revelation thing. Holy Spirit, cause the people of Kingsway Church to know the things freely given to them by God as like never before. Your power is working us, the height and depth of the Father's love, and these amazing realities in which we stand. In speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. That's zeal. Some translations have it. Zeal, earnestness. Sometimes we Christians entering into the rest of the Lord. And I love the rest of the Lord because I've stopped trying. And I'm just trusting in him to take me through, to transform me, to bring about those changes he advertises in his word. I've not given up, but I've stopped trying. I'm looking to him to keep on transforming me. But in all diligence, sometimes we get a little bit too laid back. He seeks for someone who'll stand in the gap. Earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much. I believe Europe, United Kingdom, needs immense earnest prayer, immense earnest prayer movements that will give him no rest. We'll band together. I love this meeting together in these threes. that we'll band together thousands and thousands of people meeting together in prayer groups, in prayer meetings, calling down God's mighty move and presence upon our land. It'll take diligence. It'll take sacrifice. It'll take blood and tears and sweat to see this battle for Britain won. Or will we just be passive and let us lose, roll over, and go to heaven? Or will the Lord allow the Lord to stir up that godly zeal? Zeal for my Father's house has consumed us. An effort in prayer and then an effort, outward effort, that the grace of God, Paul said, did more in me and through me than all the other apostles, all the other sent out people. He wasn't driven by ambition. He wasn't driven by religious spirit. He was driven by a compassionate love to see everybody to know these amazing realities. Oh Lord, with the fire of diligence, stir us up in prayer to lay hold of you like never before. We'll become a praying community. Would we who've been touched by the Spirit of God, born again, baptized in the Spirit, would you make us the priests and kings for United Kingdom today? To see, arouse ourselves on behalf of your purposes for this land. I believe he wants all diligence. See that you abound in this grace. See that you abound in this grace. See that you have a little bit of diligence. No, see that you abound in this grace. Father, give me a burning heart. Give me a burning heart. And see also that you abound in your love for us, in love. That's the greatest, isn't it? We can go into places, huge mega churches or big Christian places, and you can feel so alone because nobody is interested in you. And that's not the way it should be. We're a family. You're a family. You love one another. And love is taking an interest in people. And when you have a love, God, give me your interest in people. Unite me. Align me with your interest in people. And everything else pales in significance to love. Father, I need an upgrade in love. I don't want to be a selfish, self-centered person. I see it in myself sometimes. I don't like it. Father, remove from me every kind degree of self-centeredness, selfishness, priggishness, coldness, indifference, smugness. Take it out of me. Leave it on the cross. And Lord, put your love in me. And see that you abound in this grace also. This particular grace was the grace of liberality. Now you have this big debate, do Christians tithe? Well, tithing is in the Old Testament. They give a tithe. The Levites collected the tithe. And Jesus said you ought to have tithe, but that was before the cross. And in the cross, the people don't tithe. After the cross, the people don't tithe. You get these arguments. But Paul says here, see that you become absolutely, overflowingly generous. Now that's something from the Lord's generosity that he gets across to us. Lord, I'm naturally stingy. Would you remove that from me and give me a most generous heart? And as that comes, as he keeps pouring it in, we keep pouring it out. Actually, the Lord said to me, if you allow me to put my hand in your pocket, you can put your hand in my pocket. That's a good deal, isn't it? So, Lord, I ask that you will be just hilariously a generous people. Fabulous. It becomes a fabulous culture. When all of this becomes not a product of manipulation or games or people trying to fundraise for their own ambitions or something else. But this becomes the heartbeat of a hugely generous people, and all kinds of works and events come out of that. Nuala, would you share here?
It began there. The first thing that we were called to abound, it was abound in faith. And actually, God has been showing me that, you know, everything is Jesus. And one little scripture, you know, it's just amazing how you can read a scripture thousands of times maybe and, you know, give teachings about a scripture and miss, sort of slip over a little phrase that's there, which makes a big difference. And how do we abound in faith? You see, we sometimes limit what we think to our own, we think it has to be our ability, and then we limit it because of our inability. Actually, it says that there in Paul in chapter 8 there when he's talking about this matter. But I read again, just quite recently, in Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And now it's a miracle that you all love at the Gate Beautiful, and they thought Peter was some sort of holy man, or that by his piety or pure power he did it. And in Acts 3:16, which I'd read many times, I missed what to me now has become the most important point, because I'm able to translate the revelation I got there into other things. You see, Peter said, by faith in his name, this I used to think, by faith in his name, the, Jesus Christ, this man was made whole. But there's a little phrase in there, by faith in his name. Yes, his faith. His faith. Jesus is everything. Jesus, when he gives us a grace, it's still him. It's Jesus. He's perfect everything. In every situation and circumstances, we have, it's his ability. Actually, our ability gets in his way. We limit him to our ability, or we just limit him to our inability. And all those phrases are there. There's both ability and inability there in chapter 8 that Paul is talking about there. But we just so limit him. It's all about him. And if it's all about him, and I said this to the ladies last night, what stops him doing what he wants to do? It's we're in his way. Either our ability or inability is in his way. And as we were singing that song, Jesus be the center of everything. Yes, he's to be the center, but we have to let him out. We get in his way. We don't see it's his everything. He's our wisdom. He isn't just, we sing sometimes, he is the answer. He has the answer. There's terrible difficulties in the world today and struggles. And as you were singing there, Jesus, be the center from my heart to the heavens. But there should be another verse there. From the heavens to the earth, because he asked us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So there, he has an answer for many of the problems of the world today. You know, he wants his kingdom to come. It says, God, Heavenly Father, God Almighty, is not just God so loved the world, but he's Almighty. So loved the world. And you know, we talk about as Christians sometimes not being worldly and taking ourselves out of the world. But God so loved the world. We don't get into worldliness that we, that's where prayer comes in. We're so burdened by the things that the problems in the world today that man cannot solve. No politician can solve. And I was thinking that, you know, the things that get in the way of the Lord, because the Lord is saying to me lately, get out of my way. Right? So because he has an answer. He has a word. He wants to solve these situations. And our ability, our thinking we can do it without him, our lack of total, utter dependence on him gets in his way. And then there's people who try to solve, politicians and otherwise, and they're probably, some of them are good people, and they're trying to do these, bring the answer from their own knowledge, their intellect, their ability, political knowledge, whatever it is. But then there's also in the world today, which is has to be fought by prayer, evil. And we're in a spiritual warfare. But he is greater. God Almighty, creator and maker of heaven and earth, sent his son so that he can express himself in every circumstance, situation, every difficulty through ordinary folks, you and me. So it's time as never before to allow Jesus to be who he wants to be. And he told us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we can't just wring our hands, and we see many things. You know, the meet through media today, we know everything that's going on, some at least at the external, not underneath, but we know an awful lot that's going on, and we like sometimes to talk about these things, but let's pray about them more than talk about them, because he has the answer. He's all wisdom, all knowledge, all love, all power and all might, and he has, through his resurrection, he has conquered sin. He has conquered Satan. So we have to allow him to bring his kingdom to earth. It's a time for the kingdom to come as never before in every area of this world, if we let him out. And it's his faith, his ability, his power. It's all about Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And that verse Nuala had there, yes, the faith that comes from him. Lord, we ask for just waves of the faith that comes from him. And we're looking to you, Lord, to establish your throne and your kingdom in an expanding, increasing way in the lives of every single one of us and in this nation as never before. We call down and call for a great awakening in this land and make us the priests and kings unto our God. Would you just stand and we'll just seal these six things with a prayer. Father God, I thank you that we are your body, that you're equipping for this hour. You've called us out of the values and ways of the world into your plans and purposes. Father, I bless the plans and purposes and agenda you have for every single individual in this room. Keep us flowing with your ways, flowing with your plans, aligning with you. And I ask you, Lord, for this abounding and increase in faith, in looking to you, in relating to you. In speech, knowing how to speak in every situation. In prayer speech, increase it in every one of us. In zeal, in diligence, in revelation knowledge. Father, that we will just receive your revelation of you into our lives when we go to pray like never before. In diligence, especially diligence in prayer. Lord, that you will create a great prayer for revival and awakening over England, and that it will begin in Kingsway. And then, Lord, that they lack in nothing. Father, I thank you for this new day of the Lord being released. And you will, as we relate to you, you will show us exactly how to relate to the world and bring your light. Now, Holy Spirit, overshadow us with these things. Communicate them to us. Bring them into us. Let the substance of these things be formed in us. And may our days be full of gladness and celebration in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Now, anybody wants to come forward for prayer, for a new start, for healing, and say, that was God, Holy Spirit was speaking to me this morning on this issue. Just come forward and we'll just stay around and hand back to Rob. We'll be back here tonight. Our message will be